I kind of find it fascinating how every day, no matter who you are, no matter your situation in life, you ever think about how many decisions you have to make every day? It's staggering. It's frightening, actually, to consider how many things we decide or even make judgments about or evaluate just during the course of a passing day. And every day that we make these decisions, if you're anything like me, you're one of these people who has that pros and cons list in your head. You know, for the decisions that I'm making that I'm being more thoughtful about, I'm thinking to myself, what is the best decision? What's the better decision for this moment, for this situation? What path, as I'm standing here in front of these two paths, I could either go this way or I could go that way. Which way will I go, and which way would be best? And I find this word better to be really interesting. Better to me, the whole idea of better is so important and critical for us to understand in our spiritual journey, but it's also so confounding at some point. What is better? Let me give you an example. Which one is better? A car or a truck? If you believe that a car is better, raise your hand. There's going to be a lot of truck raisers here. Hold on. If you believe that a truck is better, raise your hand. You know, the best part about this is that both of you, if you raised your hand, you're all right. Because to you, it is better. It is better to own a car for some people. It's better to own a truck for some people. You know, I'm probably not going to have Margie driving a big, giant, you know, four-wheel drive, huge, massive truck. And I don't need one myself. But if I tried to get Jason Amelong over here or Glenn Joy to start driving around a Prius, I think there'd probably be a problem. So which is better, a car or a truck? Well, that kind of depends, really. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. Which one is better? Standing with your feet firmly planted on the ground or taking a running leap out of a 10th-story window of a building? I think every one of us here, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because some of you would be silly enough. I think all of us would agree that it is better for us to stand with our feet firmly planted on the ground than to leap out of a 10th-story window without a parachute. I think just unequivocally across the board, I think we could all agree on that. And so when we talk about better, when we think about better, what is better? What does better really mean? Well, as these two situations, as these two decisions illustrate, there are two different kinds of better. There are two different categories of better decisions. And maybe this is an oversimplification, and if you believe that it's an oversimplification, I'd love to talk to you about this after services. But as I look into my own life, as I look into God's Word, I see that there are two different categories of better decisions. And one of those categories is decisions that are better for me. There are decisions that are better for me. They may not be better for anyone else, but in my life, in my own context, because of the situation of my life, there are certain situations or decisions that are better for me, as that car versus truck example explains. I don't need a truck. In fact, if I were to go out and buy a truck, I would probably spend more money than it was worth to me. I would probably spend more money in gas than it was worth to me. And for the very, very few times in my life where I actually needed to haul anything, I probably would not get a very good return on investment going out and buying a truck. I need the most fuel-efficient, dirt-poor, unimpressive vehicle that I can find that is just going to get me from point A to point B. It's just a car for me. I don't really care about it being a truck or not. Now, but for you, for some of you, having a truck is very important. And you need that utility of being able to carry stuff back and forth from here to there. I'm certainly not going to convince Glenn or anyone else who actually is manly enough to own a truck to step down and buy a car. You see, there are certain decisions that are just subjectively better for you. They're dependent on the context of your life, who you are, your situation. Even sometimes the situation that changes so wildly in your life. Is it better for you to have a cup of coffee in the morning? Yeah, it is for me. Is it better for you to have a cup of coffee right before you go to bed? Probably not for most of you. I'm fine with it, but probably not for most of you. So even depending on the time of day, certain decisions are better, and they swing very wildly. But these are right versus right kinds of issues. Is owning a truck wrong? Is owning a car wrong? No. I mean, they're both right choices. And choosing either one of those paths, well, they're both right. Okay. And so we might call these decisions, these kinds of decisions, liberties. Throughout God's word, this word is referred to, these kinds of decisions are referred to as liberties. Things you have the freedom to choose, it's totally up to you. But on the flip side of that, there are certain decisions that are absolutely better. Unequivocally. Across the board. That physical example that we gave of jumping out of a 10th-story window, it is absolutely better for you to leave 2 feet firmly planted on the ground. Objectively, no matter who you are, no matter your context in your life, no matter your background or the time of day or whatever it is, there are certain decisions that are right versus wrong. You take this path in the road, that will be the right decision. If you take the other path, it's the wrong decision. I'm sorry. There's no arguing about it. It's the wrong decision. Leaping from a 10th-story window is the wrong decision. Standing with 2 feet firmly planted on the ground is the right decision. There's no arguing about that. And in some aspects of God's word, those kinds of matters might be referred to as matters of faith or matters of doctrine. So these kinds of absolute, universal things that are better for you. Let's give some spiritual examples before I lose you. There are certain things spiritually that are better for me. You think about your family. Back up just a second here. God is amazing. Isn't he amazing? The fact that he has created us, he has all power, he has done everything that he can do to get us to the point that we are right now in this life. Yet, you know what God does not do? God doesn't micromanage us. Isn't that amazing? Does God have the power and the authority to micromanage you? He absolutely does. He could tell Austin right now to take those shoes off. He could. I mean, he could tell any one of us to all of the smallest details, the most minute things that you had to choose in your life, God could tell you and dictate to you, do this or don't do that. But you know what? He doesn't do that. He gives us rules. He gives us guidelines. He gives us certain tenets that we need to follow. But then he leaves the rest up to us. And in certain spiritual matters, like with the family and with parenting, there are clearly guidelines that we have in parenting. There are clearly guidelines that we have in how we organize our family. But in so many ways, it's totally up to us, isn't it? You know, whether or not you even get married, is that up to you? Right versus right. You can get married if you want to. You don't have to get married if you don't want to in another context. There's an example in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 of Paul explaining to the Corinthian brethren, because of this present distress that you are currently going under, there are certain people here who should just not get married right now, but it would be better for you just to stay single. And if you are married, it's better for you just to remain in the situation that you're in. Paul's kind of giving a suggestion there, because of the context of this moment, this distress, this event that's going on, whatever that event was at the time, it would have been better to make this choice versus that choice. But is being married wrong? No. Is being single wrong? No. What about parenting? How many kids do you have? Do you have one kid? Do you have any kids? Do you have 10 kids? In the style of parenting, how you discipline, the things that you do for your kids, when do they go to kindergarten? When do they go to preschool? How involved are you in their education? Do they stay home? Do you teach them at home? Do you send them to school? What are the rules here? Well, there are lots of decisions that you have to make. Some of them will be better than others, but God has left that up to you. God has given you that authority. Who mows the yard? Who mows the yard? Like, that's the question in my house. This is the thing in our family. Who mows the yard? Sherilyn likes to mow the yard. I do not like to mow the yard, but I will mow the yard if I have to. And so there's this divide, right? Like, what decisions are better? Who does what? One family might decide that this person wants to cook. The other family might decide that that person wants to cook. Okay, there's decisions on both sides. What about the organization of our worship? We are now meeting at 9 o'clock. That's different. That's changed. You know who has the responsibility and the authority to define or decide what is better for this congregation? Well, it's the elders. God has given us plenty of very clear instructions on how we organize our worship, but there are so many details about our worship and about this place that we come to meet at and all kinds of things that are just totally up to us. And fortunately, and we are so blessed to have elders who are able to make those kinds of decisions for us. What color are the walls? What time do we meet? Do we pay a preacher? Do we pay two preachers? Do we pay any preacher? Do we have Bible classes? Do we not have Bible classes? What do we teach in our Bible classes? When do our Bible classes meet with respect? I mean, you see how many things that are just not specified in God's Word, but are up to the choices and decisions of our elders. But not just the things that our elders can decide. There are many members of the body, and they all serve a different function. What is your function? Now, the elders are not going to come up to you and say, you are an eye, and you are a foot, and you are a hand. They're not going to say that. You have to decide that. Are you a song leader? Do you like to teach the young people? Do you enjoy going out and evangelizing the lost? Are you somebody who can give of your time and attention and your means? Whatever your role is, you decide what that is. You don't have to be exactly like somebody else to be considered, quote unquote, better. All of these jobs are useful. Whatever decision you make, just find something to do and do it. And so with decisions that are made in our church and the worship that we offer, there's so many different options, so many different decisions, and I would argue that many of them, most of them, are totally okay. Irrespective of who you are, you know, it's okay if you want to do this role or you want to do that role or you want to fill that responsibility. But there are certain things spiritually that are absolutely better. This is where some people have a little bit of hard time wrapping their mind around this. Because spiritually, there are some things that are just not up for debate. They're not right versus right kinds of issues. They are right versus wrong kinds of issues. And one of those issues is about the authority of God. God is in authority. Period. I don't care who you are. I don't care your context of your life. God is in authority. He will rule over you. And whether you bow your knee to him now on this earth, you will bow your knee to him at some point in your existence. He is in authority. And his word is the source of all authority. His word is where we go to. This book is where we go to find out what he wants from us in our life. There's no other book. There's no other source of authority than this. There's no other God than the one true God. There's no other savior of mankind than Jesus Christ himself. The best decision is the only decision in this case, and it's God as the source of our authority. What about morality? What about the focus of our life? A lot of people want to define morality in very different ways. A lot of people want to dictate what it is that they get to do in life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus here is laying out a very clear choice. You have got one choice here. And the choice is this. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame and maimed rather than to having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is better for you to enter life with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hellfire. What's better? To live life morally and under the direction of however you want to live, whatever pleases you? Or would it be better for you to rip your eye out if it's causing you to sin, pluck it far from you, and make sure that you are morally and spiritually acceptable before God? Which is better? And he's presenting a choice there, but really there's only one choice. If you want to live, if you want to remain alive, serve the Lord. Trust in him. And don't let your own whims and your own desires and your own wants be the direction for your own life. It's his direction. It's his morality. God is the one who's given us the direction of how we live our life. And if you see that you're falling short in that, do whatever it takes to get back. Whether that's removing your foot because it's leading you into sin, removing your eye because it's leading you into sin, deleting your Facebook account because it's leading you into sin. Oh, I'd remove my eye before I'd remove my Facebook account, right? But there are decisions in our life that are absolutely better. And so we need to have a very clear understanding. Why is it important? Why do we even care that there are decisions in our life that are certain decisions that are better for me versus certain decisions that are absolutely better? Here's why we care. Because there are two ways that we reverse these categories in our mind. There are two problems that we have in our life when we flip the priority of these two kinds of decisions. Everybody who raised their hand about wanting a truck, believing that a truck was better, you're all wrong. You know how I know that? Because I don't agree with you. I want a car. I don't want a truck. And everybody else who believes that having a truck is better is wrong. That illustrates the first problem here. Because when I take what is better for me and I elevate it to some grand scale and try to apply it to everyone else around me and tell other people that they are wrong and judge them and look down on them, then I am up to a very dangerous game. I'm playing a very dangerous game because it strips people of their freedoms. Has God given you the opportunity to choose certain things? Absolutely, He has. But when I turn around and say, you are wrong for believing what God has given you the freedom to choose for yourself, well, then I'm stripping you of the freedom that God has given you. You know, it's narcissistic is what it is. And it destroys, absolutely obliterates unity. So let's go back, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, and if you haven't gotten this by now, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and Romans chapter 14 are the verses that you're going to go home and read after this lesson. Because I don't have enough time to talk about all of the details of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and Romans chapter 14. But these two passages are extremely explanatory for this lesson. But 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak." You know what we do? We take our freedoms, we take our liberties, and we throw it in front of somebody as they're walking down the narrow path that leads to life, and they trip over it, and we cause a stumbling block for them. When we try to force our opinions, force what's better for me onto everyone else, we become a stumbling block. And back to our example that we gave, the two examples we gave of spiritual choices that are better for everyone. Have you ever found yourself, caught yourself looking at somebody else's parenting style and judging them? Well, if I was that parent, I'd be taking that kid out right now and I'd be spanking his bottom in the parking lot. You ever had that thought? Well, if I was that family right there, I'd be the one out there mowing that yard, and she'd be in there doing the cleaning. Boom. Okay, well, that's fine. But what happens is we start to make these rules. We start to judge people. We start to get contentious and break unity because of freedoms, because of liberties, because of things that God has given us the option and choice to make on our own. What about the work and the worship of the church? So, 9 o'clock, right? We start at 9. Anybody been griping about that? Anybody been complaining about it? I'd ask you to raise your hand, but you'd probably be a little bit embarrassed to do that. Quit it. Quit it. You know why I say quit it? Because too many churches have split because of the stupid color of the carpet and the paint on the walls, and times that services begin. Nowhere in God's word does God dictate those things to us, and it's up to our elders, who we are called to listen to respect their authority, and we should do that. Because when we start putting our definition of better, our opinions, our judgments onto everyone else, we run a very dangerous game. And we find ourselves becoming judges with oftentimes evil motives. But the second problem here arises as well. You know, sometimes we'll take issues that are absolutely better, that God has given us unequivocally, these are better things for you to do, and we will start chipping away at how important they really are. Well, it's not necessarily bad. You know, you can stand there on the ground with 2 feet all day long, but I feel like it's just my right to go and jump out that 10th-story window without the parachute. It's a silly example. It's foolishness because it defies logic. It totally defies common sense to say this is the rule. There is a right choice and a wrong choice, and I'm going to choose the wrong way because I have the right to make that choice. That's what we do sometimes. And we do that sometimes in ways that maybe we don't understand, we don't really get. Sometimes, like with the example of the authority of God, you ever find yourself listening to the traditions of your family versus what God has said in his own word? You ever found yourself caught in reading some commentary and having it define how you believe or what you think? What are you really doing there? Are you listening to God? Are you trusting in his authority? Or are you trusting in the words of men? Are you trusting in the opinions of other people? Are you trusting in traditions? What about with morality and the spiritual focus? The moral compass for your life. You've heard the phrase, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Go read Romans 14, and I will guarantee you that it does matter that everything that you believe is being done with sincerity. That is true. You need to be sincere about everything that you believe and everything that you practice. But there is a right and a wrong choice, and no amount of sincerity is going to correct for a wrong moral choice. Just because you are so sincere does not mean you can go out and rob a bank. Because that is not okay. That is the wrong choice. And so it doesn't matter if you want to move what is absolutely better to some level or degrade it to some level where it's just a matter of personal opinion. It's okay if you want to do that. If it's all right if he wants to do that. We get into a dangerous game that way as well. So how do we decide better? How do we make better decisions? We have to be able to draw that line. Is this decision that I'm making right now better for me? And somebody else could decide something else if they wanted to as well? We need to be able to make that distinction. We also need to say, is this decision that I'm facing right now, is there a right and a wrong choice? Absolutely. We need to be able to make that distinction as well. Otherwise, we're going to invert our priorities, we're going to get things all out of whack, and we're going to start teaching things that we shouldn't, we're going to start having attitudes and opinions that we shouldn't, we're going to start condoning certain behaviors that we shouldn't be condoning. And so when we talk about making these spiritual decisions, here's 2 tools to help you decide better. We need to be loving and have humility. We need to have loving humility in our life and everything we do. If you're already in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, let's look at verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet, as he ought to know." You know what he's saying there? You can know what the right decision is, but don't get puffed up about it. Knowledge puffs up. But what does love do? Love edifies. You know what he goes on to say? He says in verse 13, he says, "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat again, lest I make my brother stumble." I've got the liberty to do whatever I want, Paul says. I could eat that meat if I want to. I cannot eat that meat if I want to. Whatever the choice is, it's right either way for me. But if it causes my brother to stumble to make a certain choice, I'm never going to do that again. You know what attitude causes him to say that? Is loving humility. Because he loves his brother. He loves and cares about his brother. Do you love and care about your brother? Do you love and care about your brother enough to not look down on them and judge them for the decisions that they make in their life that are totally up to them, that God has given them the privilege to make? Over in Romans chapter 14, if you'll turn over there too. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. You see, judgment and contempt, looking down on your brothers, is going to cause you to forget that at the end of the day, you and I will all stand before the same judge and give an account for the things that we have done. You know what? You're not better than anyone else. And that's what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So then each of us shall give account to himself before God. Therefore, let us not judge one another, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Let's be very careful. When you're making decisions for you and for your family and for, maybe we're making decisions for the church here, whatever the decisions are that would be right either way you went, believe those things, understand why you're doing those things, but don't look down on other people who choose differently. Don't judge other people who have different choices. Because all of us have to stand before God. All of us have to humbly bow our knees before the same God and the same judge and the same Lord. So we need to be humble and we need to love each other and do whatever it takes to help each other get to heaven. But we also need prayerful study. How are you going to know what is absolutely right versus wrong? How are you going to be able to discern and accurately define in your mind what is right versus wrong, or what is just right versus right? The only way you're going to know that is, again, to look into the only source of authority that we have, God's Word. The only way to make these distinctions is to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Does that sound like a passive activity? Being diligent to present yourself approved? Does that sound like a passive activity that you do as you're clicking through the seasons of Lost on Hulu? Does that sound like something you do as you're reading the newspaper and checking the sports scores in the morning? Rightly dividing the word of truth takes effort. It takes work. And it takes diligent study and prayerful study. In fact, being able to cast our cares on the Lord. And the fact that Paul in Colossians chapter 1 verses 9 and 10 was one who prayed diligently for wisdom for the people who he was speaking to. He says in Colossians chapter 1 verses 9 and 10, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing in him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." How can you increase in the knowledge of God? Prayer is a very good way to start that. Study is a very good way to start that. And prayerfully studying before God and learning about him is one of the best ways to know what is the best decision. When I'm facing this decision in my life, what is the right decision to make? And how do I categorize it? Is it right for me versus right for somebody else? Or is it just always right no matter the kind of decision I'm making? So we need to be careful not to overemphasize our own opinions. I would ask for a raise of hands if anyone ever has overemphasized their own opinions, but I think we'd all be raising our hands. It's easy to overemphasize our own opinions. It's easy for us to stand up and think that everyone else should be just exactly like we are. It ain't going to happen. And God didn't design it to happen that way. God designed us all to be different, to all function in different roles, to all make our own decisions. Yes, though, there are absolute truths. There are decisions that are absolutely better. There are things that God has given us that are right versus wrong, and we all need to follow those things. But for everything else, it's up to you. And so don't judge other people and don't look down on them for the decisions that they make. Don't be the one who gripes and complains about the times of service or the color of the carpet or whatever else. Be the kind of person who upholds the freedoms that God has given us and who firmly stands beside the direction and instruction he's given us for those matters that are right versus wrong. Now, I can say unequivocally that the best decision that you will make this morning, if you have not given your life to the Lord, is to give your life to the Lord. This is one of those right versus wrong decisions. This is like standing with your feet firmly planted on the ground versus jumping out of a 10-story window. If you want to risk your life, you can do that by doing nothing today. But if you want to give your life to the Lord, if you want to save your life, if you want Him to save you in baptism, then you can come forward. We'll pray with you. We will baptize you, and you will come out of those waters a new creature saved from your sins. Please come forward as we stand.